One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he.
Sin. hymn, Love Lifted Me. If you'd like to use the hymnal, it's number 317, but we will also have the words up on the screen.
Well, good morning. Happy Father's Day to you fathers, grandfathers. Do we have great-grandfathers? Do we have any great-grandfathers? No? I mean, I don't mean like really good grandfathers. I mean great-grandfathers. My youngest uncle is 8 years older than I am, only. And when I told him that we were expecting our first child, it turned out to be twins, and I said, hey, you're going to be a great uncle, that's what he said. You mean a really, really good uncle? Because he wasn't very old, and he didn't have any kids yet himself. So anyway, always a joke in our family. But happy Father's Day, guys. This is my first Father's Day that I can't celebrate by even calling my dad. So I'm it's a little bit somber for me. But we are celebrating it all the same, and I hope that you make sure that if you can, celebrate it with your dad, or at least call him and let him know how much you appreciate him that you do that. But go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of James. I may have been foolish at one time in my life. The people who are normally here, children, go ahead. Go to children's church. Steve is looking at me like I've never done that before. Like I've never forgotten. Remember, Explorers over here from about third grade to fifth grade, and everybody younger than that that's not in nursery, go that way. And if you can vote, stay seated, right, if you're a grown-up. So turn your Bibles to James. We're going to start in chapter 2 today. Walking wisely. And you won't see the word prejudice, probably not, in your Bible, in your translation. You won't see the word prejudice. What you'll see is partiality. But the word is really to prejudge something, to prejudge things by their appearance. So I put that in there. Do we have a problem with prejudice? Are there still warm human bodies on the earth? Then yes, we do. We have problems with prejudging things based on their appearance. So when we're going to talk about James here, remember, all of James is a very pragmatic book, a very direct book for believers. Not one word of James is written to unbelievers. It is all written to the brethren. It is all written to people who possess eternal life, who are justified freely by his grace, who possess eternal life as their permanent possession simply by that faith that they have in him, who need to walk wisely in this world. So we've been talking about that as we've been teaching through James. And several years ago, somebody told me, or not told me personally, but in my presence, said that preaching expositorily like this, verse by verse, was not only boring, it was just lazy. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Obviously, someone who's not actually committed to the process, he was a preacher, is not only boring, but is lazy. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit works through this style of preaching. Is there anything more poignant to our day today than a book that is focused on walking wisely in the midst of trial? And right at the beginning of chapter 2, talks about how to deal with prejudice in your life. Nothing more appropriate that I can think of. So I might be boring and I might be lazy, but that's not why. We deal with it all the time. What is our response, right? Because we walk wisely in this world. We try to walk with the Lord in this world. What is our response? To real prejudice problems, there are some of those. To imagined prejudice problems in our world, and there are some of those. Some things that we're not used to encountering. Oh, what's the solution to that? What part can we play in this world in the midst of that? What is our response when people that aren't walking wisely engage in a level of foolishness that is so massively destructive that we really can't tolerate it? You know, a fool is more dangerous than a wicked man. You know that? You know, we think that people being insanely wicked is being the pinnacle of problems in the world. No, it's not. The fool is far more dangerous. The fool can't even be counted on to act in his own self-interest. Yes? That's how foolish a fool is. At least you can count on the wicked person to do what's best for him. Or at least what he thinks is best. And no other time in my ministry, and I've been doing this a while, has it been more appropriate to say that we all need to be reminded about how to walk wisely in these times. We're not going to be able to review the whole formula from chapter 1 from the whole book, but we want to remember the outline. James gave us some very preliminary discussions about how we're supposed to consider things joy. We're supposed to recognize whether we have wisdom or whether we don't. And if we don't, we're supposed to ask God for it. But then he gave us the outline. Be quick to hear. Be quick to hear. Be slow to speak. And here's the kicker, right? The gut punch. Be slow to anger. Be quick to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. That's kind of what James uses as the outline for the book. And we're still in this section where he has begun talking about what it looks like and what it means to be quick to hear, to hasten to do that, to seek out opportunities to hear God's word so that we're able to welcome the word implanted, which is able to keep our hearts beating and our lungs breathing and our synapses firing, which is able to save our lives from dying. He says the solution to dying is to welcome the word that's implanted. That's why you need to be quick to hear it. And there are blessings that come by hearing the word of God. Yes? There are. Hearing about his grace, about his love, about his character. There are blessings that come by hearing the word of God and welcoming that word. He says, don't leave it there. There are other blessings that come when you are not a hearer only, but then you become an effectual doer. That you abide, that you gaze at that law of liberty in your life. There are blessings that come there. Those who are doers. The crown of life, he said, comes to those who love him. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, my brethren, do I need to review that? Brethren? what brethren means? So I come from a family with a lot of brothers. He's not talking about that. He's not. James may have had a lot of brothers. He probably did have a lot of brothers, but he's not talking to the brothers that he used to beat up on at home. I know everybody who has brothers beats up on their brothers at home, even the little ones. My littlest one is the most violent in this regard. Yes, brothers? Amen? Yes. He's not talking to those brothers. He's talking to the spiritual brothers, the ones who are in Christ, who possess along with him the gift of eternal life. He's not talking to anybody else. My brethren, he says. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with personal favoritism. Or if you add the italic, with an attitude of personal favoritism. Don't do that. Brethren, believers, don't hold your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ with personal favoritism. No unbelievers in view there. He says, this is how you walk wisely, guys, within the body, within the church, especially. Do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with partiality. That sounds simple enough, doesn't it? Simple. Like a lot of things, right? It's simple. You ever made candy? I know that sounds off topic. You ever made candy? My wife makes candy every Christmas. Actually, we start about Thanksgiving because we like it. It's also why I'm in the shape I'm in. Oh, I'm going to fall off. My wife makes candy. You know how simple the candy is? The candy is crazy simple. Crazy simple. Butter, sugar, heat. That's all the recipe has in it. Do you know how many people we've given that recipe to that have successfully made anything but melty sweet butter? Or burned, nasty smelling, awful get it out of the house, burned butter? Like a little toasty butter, it smells good, right? But you burn the snot out of it, you want to get it out of the house. It never goes away. It's like burnt popcorn. Worst smell ever, virtually. It's simple, but it's difficult. The process is difficult. Do not hold your faith, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. Treat them the way God does. James could say. Treat them the way God does. Equality of persons. You have different gifts. You have different abilities. You have different weaknesses. That's not happy and fuzzy, Josh. Don't say weakness. You have different abilities, strengths, weaknesses. You are different people, but in God's eyes, you stand on the same ground of Jesus Christ as believers. He treats you equally. What does that mean? Equality of persons. That sounds simple, right? We hold these truths to be self-evident. One of our time, right? All men are created equal. You know, when they wrote that word, they didn't actually wrote those words. They didn't actually mean it, right? They still had to define persons as being not people who were slaves. So what does it mean that you believe in the equality of persons and that you're supposed to hold the faith of your Lord Jesus Christ without an attitude of personal favoritism? What does it mean that we look at people the way that God does? See, I've told you that not every believer gets the same rewards. We talked about that, right? James talks about that. Blessed are those who persevere under trial. Yes? Receive the crown of life promised to those who love Jesus Christ. Not everybody gets the same misthos. Scripture teaches that over and over and over again. There are crowns that are reserved for others. There are rewards, right? The one that we most recently talked about was that crown of life in James given to those who persevere under trial, who love Jesus. Not everyone is going to do that. Have you met every trial in your life with joy? You could turn that back around on me. You could say, Pastor Josh, have you done that? And I'll have to say the same as you. No. Have I persevered under every trial I have experienced? No. Not everybody does. Not everyone gets the same reward. Not every believer is going to get that. This makes people so mad sometimes. Not every believer loves Jesus the same. Does that make you mad? Not every believer loves. Jesus loves every believer, but not every believer loves Jesus the same. That's just a fact. And if there's a reward that goes to those who love him, then not every believer gets that one. But every believer, get this, we talked about this, every believer experiences trials. Whether they are, James uses the example of being rich or poor. Rich people experience trials, poor people experience trials. They all have that opportunity to consider it all joy and to persevere under the trials that they have in their lives, right? They're given the opportunity to receive the reward, the crown of life. So you may not realize that there are biblical precedents for certain things that we talk about here. Different concepts, right? This one certainly is a biblical thing. Equality of opportunity, not of result. Equality of opportunity, not equality of result. When we say that we treat everybody equal, it means that everybody has the same opportunity. Every believer experiences trials. Every believer experiences trials. Every believer has the opportunity to persevere under them. If we switch that around and we talk about people that need an equality of result, which is what we have a real problem with in our country, especially right now, we actually are being prejudiced. We are actually being partial. We are actually being a respecter of persons and showing favoritism to people when we demand equality of result. If God gives every believer, regardless of their perseverance level, regardless of their obedience level, regardless of their love for Jesus level, the exact same reward. We're talking about believers here. That's favoritism. That's partiality. Because not every believer loves Jesus the same. Another way of saying this, guys, God is not a communist. Is that okay? Like some people are like, no, God is a communist. Without batting an eyelash. God is not a communist. For his children who are faithful and love him and obey him and persevere under trials, he rewards them greatly. And the opportunity for that great reward is presented to every child that he has. Because we stand on equal footing before him. He rewards great faithfulness greatly. And that is the only way to be impartial. The only way. So when James says, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism, he's saying, don't do that because that's not what God does. That's not what he does. That's why we shouldn't be prejudiced. That's why we shouldn't be partial. That's why we shouldn't have an attitude of personal favoritism. That's not what God does. But here's James's example. Verse 2. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring, dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes, and say, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down by my footstool, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Now, I think, this is speculation, James had knowledge of this taking place in at least some of the churches to which he was speaking. Of this personal favoritism based on people's appearance, how they dressed or presented themselves. Apparently now you can't even use like proper grammar because that's racist. Not sure how that happened. Sorry. This was happening in their churches. These people were coming in with their riches, and they were getting a good seat. Remember, they didn't have a microphone. See, y'all should normally, now I know that I have some modulation funniness in my voice. Sometimes I get too quiet, but mostly y'all should be able to hear me in this room, right? In fact, these would be the rich guy's seats. Where are y'all sitting? In the back. Most of you. Huckabees are moderates. They're right in the middle over there. Ferguson's. Bond. That's where they could hear. That's where they could participate. That's where they could be seen. He says, if you do that, that's problematic. That's partiality. Don't do that. You sit here in a good place to the rich guy. You sit here by my stinky feet, poor guy. The footstool. If you've done that, you're not reflecting God's character. You're not reflecting a righteous judge's character. James says, you've made distinctions among yourselves. This is believers mistreating other believers. Everybody's a believer in this formulation. The rich guy, the poor guy, and the guy that treats them with partiality. They're all believers. All of them. Right at the table. Don't just treat believers differently because some obviously have more money, some have better clothes. Don't seat them at the best seat just because of their wealth. And don't make the poor sit by your stinky feet. Everybody wore sandals back then, by the way. Y'all are going to get offended because I don't wear sandals. But everybody that wears sandals has stinky feet. It's just how it is. And everybody wore sandals in these churches. And if you told somebody to sit by your footstool, that was the seat you were giving. All the women are like, I do not. Hey, I'm not partial. Remember? I have no partiality here. Now I want to mention something too. Because we who are pastors in churches that have buildings, and not every pastor that pastors a church that has a building that's owned by the church, we get accused of partiality all the time. We get accused of doing this all the time. And the reason we get accused of it all the time is because we got a building program to fund. We got a parking lot to pave. We got this or we got that, and we gotta keep the coffers full, and we gotta keep the lights on or whatever. So everyone says, well, you guys are just moneymakers. Guess what you're doing? So you show partiality. You, pastor, you're a judge with evil motives. James is not talking to the pastor of any of these churches, by the way. You know how I know that? Because none of the churches in James's day owned a lick. They didn't own anything. They didn't have a building. They met in homes, outside, in prison, places like that. They didn't have buildings. James isn't talking to the pastors of those congregations. James is talking to the people of those congregations. Don't show personal favoritism within the body. Don't do it. But certainly talking to all of us. And he says, if you allow the outward appearance of somebody to change how you treat people, you have become a judge with evil motives. You become a judge that is prejudiced. You become a judge that judges partially. You want to stand in front of that judge? Y'all don't want to stand in front of any judge. That's because you're smart. But if you have to stand in front of a judge, you want to stand in front of an evil one that's partial, that judges you based on your appearance? Of course you don't. So don't be one. Worst kind of judge, one who doesn't have the best interest, impartial interest of the people he represents at heart. Now, this was more like, this was the judge. This was not like the district judge of the whatever. This was a local municipal magistrate, somebody who settled minor disputes with people. It had some financial aspect, right? But But he lets his own wicked heart and his ulterior motives drive his decisions. Now, some of you probably aren't going to like what I'm about to say. Do I have to say that ever again? Y'all just need to understand that some of the things that I say, some of you are not going to like. I'm going to stop giving the disclaimer at some point in my 40s, probably. Just understand that the standard disclaimer applies, that occasionally Josh says something that's going to make you upset. That's okay. You don't even have to agree, but you do have to understand this is what I said, right? Some of you aren't going to like it, but a near example of a judge with partial motives, of evil motives, ulterior motives, partiality, you don't have to look very far to see one of those, or a lot of those, in the United States today, in Texas today, or in El Paso today. You don't. You can look in virtually any populous county in Texas, one with a major urban population as part of it, and find a mayor who makes those decisions with partiality at the basis of his decisions. You can find a county or a city with any major population and find multiple examples of mayors that make wicked, partial decisions today. Our own county judge. Our own Donald Margot has made some foolish, partial, wicked, evil decisions. Next Sunday, if you come here and you're not wearing a mask, you will be in violation of his partiality-ridden decision. You will be. Why is that partial? Y'all know. We should just call what we're doing a worship riot, and we'd be okay, right? We could just call it a riot. We could just be protesting, and we're okay. We're in the clear. Evil motives. It's just about control. Let's see how far we can make them jump. Let's see how far scared people jump. Y'all know that we believe in personal responsibility here at El Paso Bible Church. We believe that if you feel that you should wear a mask, you should wear a mask. We believe that if you shouldn't shake hands, if you believe that you shouldn't shake hands, you shouldn't shake hands. The Bible has precedent for that. It's an area of liberty. You can do that. That's no problem. No problem at all. But isn't it absolute partiality to say that it's okay to chuck rocks, bottles, glass, and sticks at cops with no mask on, but it's not okay to come worship Jesus Christ without a mask on? And by the way, they did tried to include us in the order. Tried to. I don't know if they did in a way that might stick. Do they show partiality? Sure. Next week we're going to be worshiping under the threat. Well, I will be worshiping. I'll take the hit. You will be worshiping under a fine threat for me. I'll take it if it happens. I doubt it'll happen. It's another discussion. Apparently, you know, it just matters what you feel like. If you feel like a rioter today, that's okay. It's prejudice. Partiality. More than that, it's foolishness. And it's not just here, every city, every major city in Texas. Not as bad as it can get. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that here is as bad as it can be. We're not Seattle, Minneapolis. But the line is right there, guys. They crossed it. Not me. I'm doing the exact same thing I've been doing since 2003. Preaching the Word of God to God's people who want to welcome the Word that's implanted because they know that that's a wise thing to do, help them live their lives here walking with the Lord. But we don't want to emulate that within the body of Christ. So we ought to treat the people the way that God treats them, all on equal footing. So listen, my beloved brethren. I love it when Paul and James say this to people that are being naughty, right? Because that's when we start saying, I don't think those guys are believers. Paul and James never do that, by the way. They're talking to some really naughty people. And Paul and James both manage to do this. They say, beloved brethren, I love you. By the way, I love you. You are beloved brethren. And cistern, or whatever with the, you know. That's as far as we go, by the way. There's no brothers and sisters, that's it. There's no other genders that we talk to here. Beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? That's a rhetorical question. Did he not? Yes, he did. He did. But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? You guys have an honor problem. You're prejudicial. You are partial in the way that you distribute honor within the body. Then God did choose the poor to be rich in faith. And being rich in faith, being heirs to the kingdom. Remember, being an heir to the kingdom. Being an heir to the kingdom. Sometimes they state it as this way, inheritors of the kingdom or inherit the kingdom. Is not the same as inhabiting the kingdom. That's not the same biblical concept. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? That's a condition. Love Jesus. You're an heir of the kingdom. Is it going too far to say that we shouldn't dishonor people that God has honored highly? That he has esteemed greatly? Absolutely not. Shouldn't dishonor people that God honors. But you, he says, have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Can I say, in James's day, that was a very likely occurrence. And in our day, guess who's just as likely to drag you into court? Anybody, really. We're a very litigious society, and you don't even have to pay for it. You don't have to even foot the bill if you can get somebody to take it. So there is some sort of context that we have to understand here, right? This is not a capitalistic society. There was no there was no transfer of wealth on reasonable legal means. Rich who became rich often became rich at the expense of others, not because they provided a benefit to other people. At least hypothetically, how our system works, right? The answer that James gives is to honor the people that God honors. You've dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? What did I say? Or I said earlier that the fool is worse than the wicked man. Because you can't even trust the fool to act in his own best interest, right? James is saying to his readers, this is what you're doing. Forget treating everybody equally. You are honoring people who are likely to destroy your very lives in the court. Can you at least elevate from fool to being just wicked? Yes? Could you at least seek your own best interest? Because this is downright stupid. You're fawning over people in the church who are going to destroy your lives. And they're all believers, by the way. All three groups talked about here are believers, but this believer is going to drag your butt into court and sue you and destroy your life. And you're still patting him on the back and rubbing his feet. Could you at least elevate from fool to wicked? But please honor the people that God honors. Have they not blasphemed the fair name by which you have been called? Saying you're honoring people that God is not honoring when they're doing that. That's the example that James gave. And in his context, everybody would understand that. Should we apply that other places? You bet. Could we even just reverse them entirely? Some churches I've been in really have a problem treating people equally when they have some measure of financial success. And dishonoring for them. Is that the goal? Are we supposed to reverse this thing? Are we supposed to dishonor everybody equally? Or are we supposed to honor them all equally? That's partiality too. If somehow you live in a society that's progressing further and further and further to the extremes of socialism, you're going to see this flip-flopped instead of equalized. You're going to see people that dishonor and treat people like trash whom the Lord has blessed. And that's not right either. Valid application. It's like racism, actually. When I was a kid, everyone said, oh, it's reverse racism. No such thing. Have you ever been told that nobody can be racist towards a white guy? I get told that all the time. White people don't get to claim racism. Like, what am I, a crayon? I'm not white. In fact, I'm not white. By federal law, I'm not white. I'm Native American. I got a little sun on my neck. I think I'm some dang redneck. What's a white person? Is there such a thing as reverse? No, it's just racism. There is no such thing as reverse partiality. There's no such thing as reverse prejudice. It's just prejudice. James says, if you don't want to be like the worst of the worst judges in the world, get that out of here. He's got a solution. We're going to talk about that next Sunday. But today, you just remember this. Do not hold your faith in Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. Talk about James' solution next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the life that we have in your Son. Thank you for the love that you have for us. We thank you for this guidance on how to walk wisely, to honor you with our lives, to seek out the things that you value, and to honor the people you honor. And the opportunities that you've given to us, Father, to be faithful and to honor you with what we do and what we say, what we think, and how we treat others, especially within the body. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.